Morning, please, to the book of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3. That scripture was read as our scripture reading a few moments ago. And in the context, James is talking about the tongue and the dangers of the tongue. We'll be referencing that text here in just a moment. There'll be a couple of other passages that'll be on the screen as an introduction to our study. But good to see everyone here. It is a blessing to be here, and certainly give thanks to God for the opportunity that He's blessed us with to come and worship and serve Him. And as we are come together this morning to worship God, we are in His presence to consider His will for us in our life. And as James says in James chapter 3, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body." How good are we at controlling our tongue? Guarding our lips. Only allowing things to come from our lips that are necessary and are edifying, encouraging, and uplifting. How many of us have that kind of governance over our tongue? This morning we're going to talk about that. We're going to even be more narrow. We're going to talk about the subject of gossip, the sin of gossip. What is gossip? And how careful should we be in our own life in guarding our lips from being guilty of gossiping? Several different dictionaries define this term gossip. Oxford Living Dictionary says casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details which are not confirmed as true. WordNet defines it as a report, often malicious, about the behavior of other people, a person given to gossiping and divulging personal information about others. Merriam-Webster defines it as a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. So it could be true, it could not be true. Often malicious in intent. It's personal. The transference of personal information from our knowledge of that individual or our assumption of that individual to another person that does not need to know. Okay, gossip. There are several words in the Bible that are akin to this concept of gossip. And I want to take a little time this morning and examine each of those terms and realize, hopefully we can realize, that the things that God forbids us to do in our speech, we will heed and listen carefully to what God says. And we need to understand exactly what God is telling us to do or not to do. When it comes to gossiping, there is the word talebearer in the Old Testament. There are two different Hebrew words translated talebearer. Now, Leviticus 19 and verse 16, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." The word here, rakil, is translated slander, or harmful information, is defined as harmful information about another person spoken in an open or public setting, or to gossip, harmful information about another person as a semi-private, hushed communication. It's harmful information about another person. It is slanderous in its nature. It is harmful in its content. It is spoken about someone else, usually most often in a semi-private or a hushed communication setting. Gossip. In Proverbs 11 and verse 13, the same Hebrew term is found. It says, "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter." There are two different types of people in this passage. You have a talebearer, one who reveals secrets. He tells everything he knows about everybody else. He lets you in on all the dirty little secrets that so-and-so has. That's the tale-bearer. The faithful person, though, the one with a faithful spirit, he conceals. I know something about you, but what do I say about it? I know something about you. I don't go around and slip these innuendos in to somebody else about you and let them in on this little secret. I conceal the matter. Proverbs 20 and verse 19, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Now he reveals secrets, but he also flatters with his lips. This is the thing about a gossiper. They will talk bad about somebody else to you, but how will they talk to you to your face? It's very flattering. They will uplift you. They will make you sound like the most wonderful person on the planet. Oh, not like so-and-so over here. You know what they did. You know what they said. There is the difference. A talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Another Hebrew word, regain, means to complain, literally, to grumble, to express discontent in low tone. To be grumbling. This term is found in translated talebearer in Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles and they go down into the inmost body. This is an interesting passage. The words of a talebearer are one who is a complainer, a grumbler. He's grumbling about other people and usually in low tones, are like tasty trifles. What is it about someone else's trouble that makes you feel good? What is it about someone else's complaining that would make you feel good? Well, it could be that you are complaining about, let's say you're complaining about somebody in authority. You're complaining about how they're running this city, this state, this country. You're complaining, you're murmuring about how they are doing their job. And so as you're complaining to your friend about that, you're kind of getting them to think along the same lines with you, and it kind of feels good to be that rebel and that one who also is so insightful in how this person ought to be doing his job. You know better than he has how to do his job. And we've been studying, of course, in Jude and finished 2 Peter. Both of those epistles talk about speaking evil of dignitaries. And that's the same idea, the same concept. It's someone who is speaking evil of someone else. And, when you're talking about talking bad about somebody else, you're putting them down. And at the same time, you're listening to somebody explain how terrible this other person is, and you're starting to kind of feel good about yourself. I feel better. When I compare myself with somebody else, especially, I look around and I'll find somebody that's really bad. And I'll compare myself to them, and it makes me feel better. So the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. It makes you feel, hearing someone else's bad predicament can help you feel better about yourself. Proverbs 26 and verse 20, the same term is used here. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. When the complainer is put out, when he is caused to be quiet, then strife ceases. But as long as that complainer is there, Proverbs 26 and verse 20, when we get to the New Testament, there are some other terms that are associated with this concept of gossiping. In Romans 1 and verse 29, as Paul is listing the sins of the Gentiles, he says in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers. They are whisperers. Now, what does that word mean? It means one who habitually engages in gossip. The Greek word, that's what it means. One who habitually engages in gossip. That kind of puts you, or helps you, I think, see the association of the gossiper with other sinful activities. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. They are gossipers. Another Greek word. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11, the term slanders is translated from the Greek term diabolos. Slanderers. The Greek, diabolos. Does that sound familiar, that term diabolos? Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah. Who else is, where else, or where have you heard that? What about the devil, Satan himself? What's the Greek? It's the same, the devil is a slanderer. That's his name. One who engages in slander. And as Leonidas says in 1 Timothy 3:11, it may be appropriate to render diabolos as gossipers. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 11, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. There's the company that the gossiper keeps again. Slanderers. Another Greek term is pleuros, which means pertaining to talking nonsense. One who talks nonsense. Gossipy. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. They're talking nonsense. They're talking about things that they ought not be talking about, is the actual idea. But their gossiping is associated with their busybodying. They are inserting themselves into other people's business. And so, gossip. We may say something like, well, I don't mean to gossip, but did you hear what so-and-so did? If you don't mean to gossip, don't. In the book of James, James 3 verses 1 through 12, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You know, being a teacher is a great responsibility. And what we say, being required to teach with our tongue, it is important that we recognize the seriousness of saying what is needed to be said, saying the right thing. We're going to be held accountable for the words that we use, the words that we speak. For we all stumble in many things. So James goes right in, after talking about teachers, into the tongue and the dangers of the tongue. He says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also, ships, although they are large, or so large, and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Now, one important thing here is that, okay, the tongue, he says, is dangerous. The tongue needs to be controlled. We put bits in horses' mouths to control them. Now, the tongue is compared here to the horse. We need to put bits in horses' mouths in order to control them, and we can turn the whole body. Now, certainly the tongue is something that can control us, or we can control it. We need to be in control. He says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can contain or tame, no man can tame the tongue. Now, the idea of taming, I think, can be illustrated pretty simply. Remember those two fellows, those on TV a lot, 15, maybe 20 years ago, that had those tigers, and one of them got killed. I can't remember their name, just kind of. He got killed by one of his tigers. Well, that tiger was not tame. Now, he could control that tiger. He could get that tiger to do certain tricks and things that he wanted him to do. But one day, the tiger and that tiger came out. It got loose. And that tiger killed him. We can control these animals. But tame them? No. The tongue can be controlled, but it can't be tamed. That means for all of your life, you will have to keep guard over that tongue. You will have to keep it in its cage. You'll have to keep watch over it. You have to control it. Because if you just neglect that attention for one moment, that tongue is going to get out of whack. It's going to get out of control. You have to control it. You can control it. Not easy. Kind of like controlling tigers. It's not easy. James says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and curse, blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. Now, what James is telling us is that there is tremendous power in the tongue. I hope that we realize that not only can it be used for much evil, but it can also be used for good. The tongue can be used for much good, to preach the gospel, to edify and to build up one another. It can be used to encourage someone to great heights. The tongue is a powerful tool and can be used for good. It can also be used for much evil. False doctrine can be spread. Lies can be spread. Hurtful terms, destructive words. Tremendous power in the tongue. The tongue is never fully tamed. It must constantly be watched and guarded. But listen, the tongue is just an instrument. It is governed by the heart. Now listen, if your heart is pure, if your mind, in other words, is thinking as it ought to think, you are focused on the things that you ought to be focused on. You are focused on the one whom you are to serve, and that is God. And you have truly purified your heart. How about that tongue at that moment? Who's driving the ship? We can control our tongue if our heart is right. If our heart is pure, bad things will not be coming out of our mouth. Right? Isn't that exactly what Jesus also said? It is our tongue and our words are like a poison. The tongue, when used in a sinful way, an ungodly way, is like a destructive fire. It's like a poison that kills. It's like a fire that destroys. It can destroy our neighbors. According to Proverbs 11 verse 9, it reveals secrets that ought not be revealed and sows strife. Problems arise because of us not controlling our tongue under the power and control of God and the Spirit and the Word. If our tongue is not being controlled by God, look at the trouble, the problems that will result. Our tongues can be used to destroy a good person's name. Our tongues can be used to sever close historical relationships. Our tongues can be used to destroy a happy home. And again, not necessarily by even telling lies, but you just tell things that do not need to be repeated or need to be said. The truth sometimes can indeed hurt, and I don't mean in a good way. We need to be careful what we repeat, what we say. Can destroy peaceful, loving, working, growing churches. It may be true then that such and such a person has done all these things in their past. May be true. But that doesn't mean everybody needs to know about them. And it may be true that somebody makes a terrible mistake and they have been overcome by a terrible sin. And it may be very true that they need help. And those who are spiritually qualified need to be in on it so they can help this person overcome their sin. That doesn't mean, just because that's a fact, the truth, doesn't mean that everybody needs to know about it. Gossip is destructive and sinful. So in all this, we've seen that complaining and grumbling is bad, as we looked at that, our terms. Complaining and grumbling about other people is bad. Spreading harmful rumors, innuendos, or even facts about others is sinful. So, let's hone in just a little more. Let's focus in defining our terms so we get a real good understanding of what we're talking about. In reality, listen, when we're gossiping about someone else, we're revealing some secret about another person. Maybe this other person confided in us in secret. Said, you know, don't share this with anybody. I've really got a problem and, you know, I really could use your help. So, okay, you're receiving counsel from this person that you really trust. And you confide in them with all these things that you need help with. And that counselor then goes and he tells everybody else about what you said. Would you feel betrayed? Absolutely you would. That's what gossip is. It is a betrayal of a trust, of a confidence. When we spread secrets or information, whether true or not, which damages another person's reputation, their standing, their influence, with people who do not have any business knowing about it, we have sinned. We have sinned. Now, when it comes to sin, we need to recognize, as 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we need to confess our sin. We first must come to terms with our sin and recognize what is wrong so that we can be forgiven of it. And so that we can learn how to better govern our tongue and control what we say. Where does the gossip come from? How are gossips made? Well, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, remember as we looked at that text, it said they learn to be idle. They learn to be idle. Now, when we have time on our hands, what's the expression about the devil's workshop? When we have time on our hands, Satan has plenty of opportunity to tempt us. Idleness, thoughtlessness. You know, it could very well be that we simply just do not think about what we're doing as being wrong. We don't really think about it. It's just thoughtless communication. We're talking, and we let things slip. Well, instead of being thoughtless, though, we need to be thoughtful, right? And cowardice. It could be that we do not have the courage to say to a person what needs to be said, but we'll sure go and tell somebody else of what needs to be said about that person. Cowardice. Or jealousy and envy. We are envious of that person and what they have, and so we try to tear them down with our words. Hatred. Could be we just don't like that person. We hate them. Now, hate's a strong word, I know. But in reality, if we truly don't love a person as we ought to, we, in a sense, do hate them. Hatred. We may even have malicious thoughts about them and how hopefully they will be harmed by what we say. Unjust anger. We can be given over to our anger, our passion, and lash out against other people behind their back and destroy them. Or simply discontent. You know, and the children of Israel were discontent with God. They were unhappy with God. So what did they do? The leaders of the people turned and they said to the people, God's not with us. And they would speak evil against God. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, Paul talks there about those murmurers, those complainers. They're discontent with what God has blessed them with. So they spoke reproachfully and blasphemously against God. When we are discontent with what other people are doing or how they're doing what they're doing, it can very easily motivate us to talk bad about them to other people. Do we see any of these motivations within ourselves, and why, if we have found ourselves talking bad about other people, have we seen these type of qualities and characteristics and motives within us? Let me suggest some questions that we ought to ask before we speak about other people, especially before we talk about somebody else. Let's ask some very, very important questions. First of all, is it true, and is it the whole truth? Now, we always must speak the truth. Sometimes we repeat things that we have heard without verifying the source. We don't know if it's actually true or not, but we've heard it, and so we repeat it. We need to verify whether something is true. We always need to verify what we're saying as being true. Well, that's a very important question. We certainly want to make sure that what we are reporting about somebody else, we want to make certain that it's true, don't we? But there's more to it, and that's not the only criteria. That's not the only quality that's necessary. We must also, these questions all go together. It's not just is it true, but also is it harmful or is it helpful? Will it harm this person if I repeat it? Or is it something that is necessary in order to help this person? That's an important question. Is it harmful or is it helpful? Does it hurt this other person in the eyes of the person that I'm telling? Is it harmful to them? Does it ignite evil suspicion or inspire solutions? Does it raise questions about somebody else's character? Or does it inspire solutions to help a person who has a real problem? Now, I think hopefully you can see kind of where I'm going with this. Is it necessary? Is it necessary? Listen, there are times when it is necessary to tell other people about another person. That in and of itself is not gossip. from a biblical definition or perspective. Listen, it is not a sin, for example, to repeat good things about people. It's never wrong to tell other people some good quality and something praiseworthy about something someone else has said or done. Unless, of course, what they didn't do it. If it's true, you're praising someone for their good work and their efforts, fine. Or let's say someone has been overtaken by a sin. And we're talking to someone close and personal to the situation about how we can help this person in this known sin. And we're discussing this person, but we're discussing this person in view of helping to lift them out of their sin. Or telling the necessary and qualified people about another person's sin. After we have gone to that person and we have tried to help them, we've confronted them with their sin, and they have refused to hear us. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Jesus said, "You go and you tell that brother his fault between you and him alone. But if he will not hear you, you go and tell two or three others. And you take them with you so that every word be established. And then if he will not hear them, tell the church. And if he will not hear the church, let him be to you as a tax collector and a publican." Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, "Those who are spiritual restore such a one in a spirit of meekness." There may be someone who's overcome in sin, and I need to help this person. Let's say it's drugs. Let's say someone is overcome, they're addicted to drugs. There may very well need to be an intervention on that person's behalf. And he's not going to like it. But you have to tell certain people about what's going on. Tell the elders. Let's sit down and let's meet with this person. Let's have an intervention in this young man's life or young woman's life. Do what's necessary. You're trying to help this person. You're not trying to harm him. You're not spreading rumors about him. You're trying to help him overcome a sin in his life. Or to warn other people about another impenitent person's evil character. He has demonstrated it over and over and over. And you're warning somebody, stay away from them. We have biblical examples of that, don't we? In Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 23. Here is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is in the public setting, but he is speaking to his disciples. And he says, and of course his opponents are listening, "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." And he lets them have it from beginning of the chapter to the very end, pronouncing destruction upon them. And he's saying it within their hearing, but he is informing everybody within the sound of his voice about their evil character. He's letting everybody know about it. Paul instructs us not to partake with such people who are doing and engaging in evil things. The Apostle Paul warns about several false teachers and evil men in 2 Timothy. And 3 John verses 9 and 10. Have you ever heard of the fellow Diotrephes? John's letting the whole church know about him. So there are people, if they're impenitent and they refuse to do what's right, and people need to be warned, you don't want them to be influenced by this person. They need to know. That's not gossiping. To expose those who publicly teach false doctrine. Once somebody teaches error publicly, and they persist in teaching that error, you may call them, you may text them, and you may try to help them. If they refuse, listen, they need to be exposed. What they're teaching is false. False teaching needs to be exposed. So, quickly, hopefully with all of this clarification, we can understand that, you know, doing something to help someone, saying things to help another person, that's not gossip. It's when we do those things, say those things, that will harm another person, hurt their influence and their character, their reputation. How do we stop gossiping? First of all, we need to abstain from it ourselves, personally. Don't engage in it. Don't be a gossip. Bridle your tongue. Keep it under control. Don't say bad things about other people that do not need to be revealed. Just don't tell. Don't listen to gossip. Okay, so you're not doing it. Don't listen to somebody who does. Don't give them an ear. Quench the demand by not taking up a reproach against your neighbor. Psalm 15:3. Don't listen. Turn them away. Don't keep company with gossipers. And correct them. But let's go a little deeper with this. How to stop my gossiping? How do I stop it? If I find myself guilty of it, I truly do an introspective evaluation of my own words and my own communications with others, and I find myself lacking, the first thing we must do, as Jesus says in Luke 6 and verse 45, purify our hearts. Listen, if my heart is pure, then the words will then also be pure. Purify my heart. Because what is in the heart is going to come out of the heart. If I have evil in my heart, it's going to come out. But if I have purity in my heart, then if I have love in my heart, then what's going to come out? Love. Love. Purify your heart, in fact, with love. Love one another. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Oh, that's very, very important when it comes to how we communicate with people. If we truly love the person that we're talking about, how are we going to communicate words about them? Love one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, the Apostle Paul there emphasizing again the qualities and characteristics of agape love, the kind of love that we ought to have. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. No, you're not thinking evil about another person. If you're not thinking evil about another person, then what kind of words are going to come out of your mouth? If you are thinking evil about another person, that tells me that you don't love them like you should. And what kind of words are going to come out of your mouth? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things. That is, he's optimistic. This kind of love is optimistic. Hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If we have this kind of love, then how are we going to be talking about other people? Even those whom we may not get along with, that we may not like, we still must love them and want good for them. Again, yes, there are instances, there are times and circumstances which demand that we warn other people about an evil person. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how we're communicating about other people. Speaking things that we do not need to say, that we do not need to spread. In Proverbs 17 and verse 9, it says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." Think right. Think right. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Think on these things. Paul says, focus your mind on these things, things that are good and trustworthy and wholesome. Think on these things. Get our minds thinking right. And purify your heart with love and right thinking. We need to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Control our words. Get them under control. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul, he says that he has to buffet his own body. The tongue is a part of that body. He says, "I buffet my body daily." We need to grab control of our words. The psalmist said in Psalms 39 and verse 1, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. And Psalm 141 and verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We need God's help. We need God's help. James 1:26, if anyone among you thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. In Matthew 12, verse 33, Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Do you think this is serious? What we say, how we say it, to whom we say it, we need to guard our lips. And that all begins with our heart. Purifying our heart. Becoming more and more like Jesus. Letting love push out all the enmity, all the envy and the jealousy. Thinking about serving God in not only what we do, but in what we say. Do we need to work harder at being careful about what we say, how we say it, and to whom we say it? Do we need to work on that? Do I need to work on that? Well, maybe as I investigate, I find out I need to repent. First step is to confess it. That is to come into agreement with God of my condition. I am a sinner in this regard. I need to change. Repent. Change your heart, your mind about this particular issue. Turn away from it and stop it. And I need to submit to the Lord's will in the matter. I need to follow the Lord's will in using my tongue. Use it for good, not for evil. Now, you've heard the illustration before. When it comes to gossip, a lady had come to the preacher's study and she started gossiping. And the preacher didn't want to hear it, so he gave her a pillow, a feather pillow. Took his knife, cut a little hole in it, big enough for her to get her hand in. He said, I want you to go and I want you to take a feather and put it on the doorstep of every person that you've gossiped to. And so she goes out and she goes around. Apparently there were a lot of people because she came back and the pillow was empty. So she comes back and the empty pillowcase, and now he says, all right, go back and you pick up all those feathers. It's impossible to take your words back after you said them. Once it's out, it's out. Can't get the cat back in the bag. A good illustration. We need to think carefully about our words. Maybe you're here this morning. You need to repent of sin in your life. Maybe it's not this, but this is something that a lot of people have trouble with. If we need to repent, we need to change our way. Why don't we do that? If there's public sin in our life, we need to make correction for it. Let's take care of that. If you're here and you've never rendered obedience to the gospel, you've never obeyed Jesus Christ, because maybe you believe in Him. But have you truly turned to Him in faith to submit to His will? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? Becoming a child of God, being raised to walk in newness of life? If that's what you need this morning, you need to take advantage of what you have. That is time. Take advantage of right now. If we can help you in any way, we ask, plead with you. Come as we stand and sing.